Halloween events. Halloween events. Which Halloween gaming events are the best and why, and do they belong here? We're going to kick it over to you, Ender.
I like Halloween events. I think the two best ones that I have, I think Call of Duty does a pretty good job. It's gimmicky, but it's fun. Gives you something to break up the monotony of the game. And, you know, when I decide that I hate battle royales, I can go do that for a little bit because it's the fifth time or sixth time I've been killed by a cheater. I don't find a lot of cheaters in the whole Halloween event. And then I also really loved World of Warcraft's Halloween event, the Hollow's End event, because you could get different type of loot. There was a mount that you could get and things like that. So it was fun to have that breaking up the year. So I'm for them. I like them. They're cheesy. They're fun. It's time for the company to sell some skins and stuff like that. But you know what? They need the money. So I'll keep paying for them.
Gotcha. We'll go over to Bobber.
Dude, I love these damn things. I'm a huge fan of Halloween as it is. And the fact that I can run around as the dude from Scary Movie and everything else, like, and scream and that, like, it is a damn good time. And who doesn't love being a ghost? I just found out you can assassinate as a ghost. So that just kind of blew my mind. So most people
here. You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you for that, by the way. As, you know, James is here yelling at me as I'm trying to assassinate someone right before the show started. So, no, I am absolutely obsessed with the Halloween events. I love them.
Jordan.
Yeah, I don't think that they're gimmicky in a bad way. I think they're gimmicky in a fun way. I love the Halloween events. I think my favorites are probably Apex and Phasmophobia. Phasmophobia actually is having, like, a nightmare mode, which is, like, extra hard for, you know, spooky ghost hunting. So I actually have to try that out, but I'm really excited to see it.
And last but not least, Shadow.
A lead off of the question. How many countries actually celebrate Halloween outside of America?
That's a good question. It's a family.
That's the best question. Because literally this is for Americans. 9 times out of 10. So we're all about it. But how many countries actually celebrate it? Not very many, probably. Other than a couple that sell like All Hallows.
Mexico?
Mexico?
No one really knows. Yeah, they do. They do a lot around it.
That's
have you ever seen Coco?
That's a different holiday, though.
It's a different holiday, but still.
It's a totally different holiday. It's not Halloween.
Yeah, it's a totally different holiday.
It's a different holiday, and it's a different reason they celebrate it. It's not even the same thing. Not even close.
Yeah.
But it's really for a way for these companies to just make money off of people. That's the biggest gimmick of all. Just like the holiday itself for Americans. It's a way to make money. That's all it is. I like the events, but, and I'm guilty of buying all the skins and everything for every event almost. And that's kind of my opinion on it, is like, they don't need to do these things. Yeah, it's a break up from the monotony, but there's got to be a better way to get out there and make money. Make a better game, actually. Come on.
Shadow! Just let people enjoy things, Shadow!
All right, we're moving on to the next topic. Splinter Cell. Splinter Cell.
If you don't have Halloween, like, you just log in and you're like, what is this? And it's just like, you're just so confused.
Jay's taking over here. But Splinter Cell. Splinter Cell is back in the news. It's not just a mobile game. It is not just an expansion. It's actually rumored to be a real game for once. Shadow, your thoughts?
I hope they do a good job with it. I enjoyed the original Splinter Cell games, so, and there's been little teasers here and there that it might be coming back, and we've always had these little, like, just the inklings wanting to play this game again, sneaking around and killing people, doing your little top secret missions and stuff. The little three green dots that everybody's iconic for. Just, I really want to see it come back and be a really good game.
True. Jordan.
From what I've heard, everyone is excited about it, for not to only be like a mobile game or a VR game anymore, but for it to actually see the light of day. Excited. Hopefully they get it out like 2022, maybe beginning of 2023.
And Jay.
Look, I can speak from a little more experience, because we all know that Jordan was in preschool when the game last was on a wide format. So, you know, it's I'm excited about it just because of the nostalgia, but I think we're running into the same like Halo thing, and you guys made fun of we need more money. Let's go get another old title that used to be awesome. Like, let's dust that off instead of creating something new. So, as hopeful as I am, I really, really would like people just, or the companies to focus on creativity and new gameplay and new everything. But, yeah, I'll play it. I'm in.
Ender.
Looking forward to, for it to come back. We don't have enough real stealth games out there. Like, I think having another stealth game come back into the market would be awesome. You had, like, Metal Gear Solid for a while. Then you had, like, depending on how you play Red Dead Redemption 2, like, you can kind of play stealthy there. And it fits for them. Because you have Ghost Recon, which sounds like they're going Battle Royale. You know, they're pushing that angle. You have Rainbow Six, which is more team tactics and like new technology type deal. So they really have a hole for that stealth tactic game. And I'm just tired of like turning on Hitman if I want to play a stealth game. Like, give me something else to play.
You should check out Origami 2. That's out on Game Pass right now. It's a ninja stealth game. It's pretty good.
Do people what actually like stealth games?
That's bonus points so boring. For dropping a Game Pass update there. Everyone knows yeah. I'm a big fan of the Game Pass.
I mean, I definitely think we want stealth games out there. I think they're some of the most fun games that you can play.
Final thoughts? Anyone?
Yeah, that I love stealth games, too. There's nothing like playing a computer game and not having anything go on for 30 minutes at a time and then a little bit of action. So, I don't know.
That's how
I feel. Anyone hide in a cardboard stream, box?
Yeah, if anyone's watching my stream, that's how Jay plays Call of Duty.
Camper.
Run out guns, please, and getting shot in the face.
All right, we are on to buy or sell Rocksteady Games. You know, they announced it a couple years ago, but with DC Fandom, they had more trailers come out, and we kind of have a little bit more sense on the Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League game. Now, the question is this going to live up to the hype and be better than their Batman games? Because they've really set themselves up you know, on a pedestal with the way they handle those Arkham games. Jay, you first.
Dude, I'm buying this only because the movie was for Suicide Squad was so god-awful that they really lowered the expectations.
The new one? So are you talking about the new one or the original?
The new or the old one?
So, come on, Will Smith mailed that one in. So
yeah, but they got a new one.
They lowered the bar, and so if this game's even halfway remotely close to being decent, I think it'll be great. I'm buying.
Ender, buy or sell? This will be better than the Batman games.
I'm selling that it'll be better than the Batman games. I think it'll be a good game as long as they keep it focused on the co-op and play mode, because you're dealing with four characters here. If they stay focused on the co-op play, I think it would be a horrible game if it's just like a single person walkthrough campaign. Like, that's going to be weird. So co-op play, they really need to focus on that. But I'm selling that it's going to be better than the Batman games. Those were great games, and I just don't think these characters are good enough to be better than the Batman games. Like, I'm just too involved into Batman and love them. So
yeah, I agree. Jordan?
I'm buying and I'm offended by Ender to say that the characters are the problem? Excuse you? No, I'm buying. I think that...
When you compare them to Batman?
Yes.
Like, are you crazy? Like, these are secondary characters to Batman.
Only because of the way that stories have always been told by the hero's perspective. The only reason...
I mean, I would take the... Go ahead. I'd take the Joker over these guys.
Anyways, I'm buying the idea. I think that if they did such a great job with the Batman games, I can't see why they won't do even better with this one.
Shadow.
I feel like Arkham Knights is going to be the better game out of the two that rocks, out of the two games that are coming out.
Of WB, because the other one's not Rocksteady. Yep. It's
Nope, but I feel like WB's Arkham Knights will be the better game.
Really?
It's introducing Court of Owls. It's going to be an amazing game. And... I like the concept of doing Suicide Squad. I do. But you're going to have to do something a little better than bringing Brainiac back after they just did that in Injustice. You're really going to have to come up with something new. That's kind of
just almost rewatching the storyline there, huh?
Yeah, you got to come up with something different. Your own stuff, fresh. Can't recycle from a different game. Come on.
All right, moving on. All-women's team. G2 Esports makes an all-women's team for Valorant. And one of the biggest arguments on the internet and on Twitch and stuff is that men are better in video games because of their gender. So a lot of times people say that men are better in sports because of the way they're built and the athleticism. We're talking top-tier athletes. So, you know, not LeBron James versus Mary Poppins or something. So in video games, buy or sell, Ender, that men are better in video games because of their gender?
I mean, selling that completely. It has nothing to do with that. I hope this all-female team goes out there and starts destroying and wins to the top and wins different things, all the different things they could win. It has nothing to do with that. I mean, if you even take like another sport, or, you know, we can debate sport. We've done that before on a different podcast. But you take a look at drag racing now. Most of your top drag racers are female, for hand-eye coordination being just faster, like known to be faster. Scientifically proven to be faster. So I think this team has an advantage of being female. I think that helps them to a point, just from hand-eye coordination, and that's been proven.
Bobber.
Man, I think the fact that it's an all-women's team is a little gimmicky, but I'm for, like, I don't know why females haven't been more included in these top-tier teams regardless. There shouldn't be even a gender on it. It should just be about the player's skills, and the player's ability to be able to throw down in these big arena matches and everything. I don't even know why. I guess I'm just disappointed that it should take somebody announcing an all-women's team for the discussion to even be, you know, are they even good enough? Of course they're good enough. Stop being stupid. You know, it shouldn't have even been an issue. I hope this team really leads. Same thing. I hope they kick a lot of ass, and I hope they take a lot of names, and then there's just integration across it, because there should be mixed teams, because you can't tell me that there aren't female players that are just as good as the guys that deserve a shot at these titles.
Jordan.
Obviously, I'm selling. I completely agree with Red Harley in our chat. Who would buy this? Sad to say, there are some incels on the internet who would buy this, but I don't think any of us are included in that. Yeah, I can't see it. Have you guys even seen the Creeper Queen? She's freaking insane. She's better than most of the guys that I've seen ever play video games ever. Like, she is amazing. So, yeah, hard sell.
Shadow.
Definitely selling, because FaZe even has been integrating women into their team for, 4 or 5 years now?
Yeah, exactly.
But the biggest thing that's holding this back is because in the industry, period, sexism has been a horrible thing. Period. Just look at a lot of the video game companies like Activision. What was going on there? Blizzard, yep. Thank you, Jake. Just look at these gaming companies. It's happening at the companies. They don't want to see stuff like that succeed, which is kind of messed up if you think about it. But I'm definitely selling. I believe that these women's teams can really compete, and I would love to see more integration in the sport itself.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, especially like the whole, like, they don't want to see it succeed. You don't want to open up a whole new revenue stream. Like, you got a whole new group of people to sell to. Like, it amazes me that they're holding this back.
Moving on. Top streamers. Top video game streamers can determine the success of a game. Buy or sell. Shadow.
This is a touchy subject, but I'm going to definitely buy that they can, because how many video game companies are putting money into streamers right now to make their games have more eyes on their game, to make sure that that game is watched by more people so more people want to play it? It's just like what Activision's been doing forever. Hey, this streamer has this skin with this skin on this gun, we want it. And they're going to keep feeding that, and it's going to make people buy into games. If a game wants to succeed now, you really have to put that game in the hands of a streamer and get it out to more people through Twitch, gamers like us that are watching these streams and actually paying attention to what's going on.
Jordan, you play a lot of competitive games, whether it's Dead by Daylight or, you know, Valorant, Apex. Do you agree that the top streamers can determine if a game is successful or not?
100%. I think watching other people game gets me excited for a game that I may have wanted to put down. That's 100%. Like, anytime I get sick of Apex or Valorant, sometimes I will watch one of my favorite streamers, and it will suddenly make me want to jump in. And I mean, to be fair, once I jump in, I'm buying skins, and that's like a whole other money in their pocket. But regardless, even if I've never seen a game before, and this has happened to me, I will watch one of my favorite streamers play it, and then I'll get it, I won't have as much fun. But it's because they make it look so much fun on their stream that I'm like, oh my god, I would love this game. So 100%.
I think 100% we've all been duped that way. Ender.
I think we're all saying the same thing. Like, I buy it. I think they definitely can push it. I think you look at the way their marketing's going today in general, it's influencers. You know, how much can they influence you to in order to do it? And streamers are that influencer right now for the gaming world. I think they can definitely determine the success of smaller games more than some of the larger games. I think you have your fan base in some of the AAA games that everyone's going to play, but it's across the board. The more guys you can have pushing it, the better.
All right, Jay, here's your chance. Buy or sell.
Man, I don't understand why people are surprised that streamers are kind of leading the way on marketing for new items. I mean, this is the celebrity endorsement. This is the athlete endorsement. It's just with gaming. And, you know, absolutely, you would absolutely be a part of every marketing plan. You would be an idiot not to get your game in the hands of a influential streamer. Now, here's the other thing, though, is that doesn't mean you're going to have a successful game. Just because you can bring all the horses up to the water doesn't mean they're going to drink, because they're going to do exactly like Jordan said. They're going to try it out, and then your game has to be able to stand on its own. So you can get that bump, you can get the exposure, you can get everything, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're starting your own AAA franchise just because you got 100 streamers to be able to play it the first week.
You know, Shadow looks like he's about to jump out of his seat, so I'm going to give him a chance to get to rebuttal this.
So if you got that hands in those gamers and they each paid $60 a piece and all these people jumped in and bought it, they're going to have that bump to keep making that game better. That's all they need to start with. That's the initial, you are the product, right? As what you would say.
But here's the thing, even though you had money to be able to dump into it, if it was a shit game to begin with, you can only polish a turn so many times.
Accurate.
And you have the reverse backlash there too, of like, they play it and they're like, oh, this was great and I never picked it up again. And everyone's like, didn't they play that once? Like, they're not playing it anymore, I'm done. Like, it just goes to the wayside.
Like, you could tell exactly how long their 60-day contract was, right? Like,
exactly.
Started, oh my god, this is the greatest thing ever.
It's my sponsored stream, and I'm not sponsored anymore today, guys, so I'm no longer playing that. Thanks.
All right, guys, moving along. PlayStation is back in the news. Of course, they've put some of their exclusive games on PC this past year, you know, with Death Stranding and a few of their others, and now they're putting God of War on PC. Now, of course, this game has been out, since 2018, so almost 3 years. But some people are saying this is kind of tarnishing PlayStation's brand and making it not as exclusive. I mean, you don't see Mario Odyssey showing up on PC, you don't see Zelda showing up on PC, so is PlayStation hurting themselves by putting their games in the PC market now? Shadow.
Oh, they are not. You're putting your hands in more... You're putting your game in more players' hands. More people are buying into your product now. That's essentially what you're doing. Xbox has been doing it for a while now, and PlayStation's finally starting to catch on to this. Come on.
All right, Bobber, buy or sell that this is hurting PlayStation's brand?
Oh, I'm selling it. I mean, it's really funny. You mentioned that, you know, oh, this PlayStation exclusive is going to PC. Well, it's no longer PlayStation exclusive now, isn't it? So it's no longer got the exclusivity. I'm a big PlayStation fan. I'm a big fanboy. They are habitually late to the party. And you're absolutely right. They're always a couple years behind everyone else. So, I mean, all these other... You'd be an idiot to keep it out there if you're not going to open it up to other platforms. And you're absolutely right. It does open it up to other players. Players that wouldn't necessarily have that exposure to be able to pick up those skins. They've always heard about it, and it's almost giving your game a second life by doing it. It's just increasing the longevity of the franchise. I love it. I think it's great, but we got to stop using PlayStation exclusive, because once it goes to PC, it's no longer exclusive.
Jordan, your thoughts. Buy or sell? This is hurting PlayStation.
I'm going to sell. I think people who are PlayStation lovers will continue to buy PlayStations as long as they are making them, especially because they are technically cheaper than consoles. If you think about Xbox or PlayStations, they're more cost-effective for families or anyone who just doesn't really need a PC, so I don't think it hurts them at all.
Ender.
Yeah, I'm selling it. I don't think it hurts them. I think it gives them more people in there. And going to your comment of like Nintendo, like Nintendo's always played like the Apple brand out there of like, we're going to keep everything in our ecosystem and we're not going to breach it. You're not going to go out there. So that's just how Nintendo's done it and how they're always going to do it. But I think for God of War and PlayStation, that's not what they're trying to do. They need to branch out. I love hearing that because now I can't get a hold of a PS5, so it's like, oh great, I can just use this incredibly expensive PC that I just built and play the game that I want to play. I don't have to buy something else. Like, that's awesome.
Speaking of building your PC, let's go on to the next topic. Final buy or sell topic before elimination here. Pre-built PCs are a waste of money. You should only build them. Buy or sell? Jordan.
Absolute sell. I think sometimes, unfortunately, this can be the case, but I have had friends who bought their pre-built PCs and are absolutely loving it, so I don't think it's every single case.
And Ender.
I'm going to sell it on the caveat of you need to know what you're buying. So a lot of these pre-built companies won't necessarily put the exact cards you're getting or the exact thing. So if you can physically see what's in it before you buy it, or you know the exact graphics card that's going in, you know you're not getting, you know, crap inside of it, all for it. I mean, I've purchased pre-builds from Micro Center before, and they're fantastic machines, and they're cheaper now during COVID than they are to try to build it on your own. So like, pre-builds right now are really good deals compared to what you have trying to build it on your own during COVID. So
Shadow, your thoughts, buy or sell that you should only pre-build them?
No.
Or you should only build them yourselves?
No, pre-builds nowadays are a lot better than what they used to be. So I'm definitely selling on that point. And plus, if you get a pre-built, you can always go in and change out a graphics card. Change out this, change out that. You can still go in and change it out if you need to. It's not like it's permanent. It's not like buying a console where once it's there, it's there. Can't do anything with it after that.
And Bobber.
Dude, I am tired of the PC Master Race telling me that just because I go into a Best Buy to get a gaming rig, that all of a sudden I'm now an inferior person, because not only am I just a newbie PC gamer, I also now bought something out of a box and saved myself $3,000, and now I suck. Like, and it's crazy too. And it's crazy too. Like, if you were to equate this to like the car market, like, oh, you didn't build your car? Oh, you suck. You got one of those off the lot. No, it's an absolute dog show. I mean,
you didn't build yours? Gosh.
Yeah, I admit I bought mine from the Dodge store, okay? You know, but it's just crazy that, you know, especially now when the technology's kind of evened out and stuff, a lot of people can't tell the difference when they're playing between graphics cards unless you're like an elite level. It's like the people that go out and buy the latest edition of the TVs. They can't tell what megahertz sometimes the TV's running on. There's a lot of different things that kind of happen with that. You know, you go out and you buy this, and you don't even have the knowledge to be able to adjust your monitor settings to be able to take advantage of your graphic card. So, no, it's just more PC Master Race bullshit. And if you only have $1,000, go down to Best Buy, get an MSI, be done.
Enjoy yourself. All right, guys, that ends our buy or sell. So we are going to have the showdown. So unfortunately, it looks like this week, Bobber and Jordan fall just short. But we'll bring you back on at the end, so don't disappear. But thank you guys so much for coming out.
I can't believe you eliminated Jay. I think his answers were amazing this week.
I mean, he got a rough start. Listen, stop teaming up here.
Okay, James.
Bye, Jay. We'll see you in a bit.
Bye.
All right, the showdown. So now you guys, obviously it's the first to 2 points. So let me go ahead and adjust your scores here. As soon as I can figure out how to do that. There's a lot of moving parts over here. Okay. Let me just say that.
We might be able to do the math on our fingers.
Well, I know that you can do the math on your fingers. I'm just trying to update the scoreboard properly. So it's the first to 2 points. There are three topics, but it's the first to 2 points, and we'll see who goes first here. So Apple TV Plus just did this huge marketing scheme. We talked about marketing with the streamers earlier, but all these just chatting streamers, some of the top streamers, started getting these nosebleeds in the middle of their stream, and it was all like edited and fake blood. Anyways, come to find out, it was Apple TV promoting their new Invasion show getting ready to come out, and they did it using the streamers. So Ender, we'll start with you. Is the future of advertising going to be done on streams? Is that more of a thing?
I think as long as your influence in the entertainment market is using Twitch as a platform, YouTube as a platform, whatever streaming service it's going to be, you're going to see advertisers start to take advantage of that. They have the people they want in front of them. They know that they're getting the viewers, and they're going to utilize that. Do I like the gimmickiness of this whole fake nosebleed thing? No. I think a little bit more straightforward of like, hey, you're getting advertised to. I think it was like a little hidden, and Apple's struggling with their Apple Plus thing anyway. Like, I don't think anyone's watching their shows. Like, whoa, they've got to do something.
Ted Lasso, okay?
Ted Lasso is the only one. It's the only one. You've got one show next to the other ones, and I know they're the new group here, but they had to do something crazy, and they did it, and maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, but I know. I think it's the future. I don't like it, but I think it's the future.
Shadow, your thoughts on this?
I'm not a big fan of it because, like he was saying, it's real gimmicky and everything, but you really have to know the market you're trying to advertise to. Like, Invasion may be good for certain people, but if you're advertising to all these people, do you necessarily think that that's the market you're going for? I don't see it taking over advertising because more people still watch regular television, Hulu, and all these other ones that had ads on them. You are going to always see advertisements on YouTube's and all the and Twitch and everything else because that's how they bring in money. So it's never going to go away, but the gimmickiness of it, not a big fan. Not a big fan at all.
All right, good points by both of you. I'm going to give the point to Ender on this one. So we're moving on to the next topic. The cartel. This was in the news today. It was a pretty big topic. So on a game called Free Fire, which some of you may play or at least have heard of, it's, you know, advertised pretty heavily. It's a first-person shooter. They were recruiting, the Mexican cartel were recruiting kids in there and offering them up to $200 to basically be lookouts on their drug runs and stuff. Is this something that parents should worry about as they recruit in online gaming, Shadow?
If you're a good parent, they probably shouldn't be playing certain games, and you really should be monitoring what they're doing. We've talked about this before in Parents versus Gaming, I know, but you should really be paying attention to little things like that. If you don't want your kids to be on something as open as that, they probably shouldn't be on there in the first place, but I would say that shouldn't be something you worry about too much if you're... as long as you have your parental guidelines and everything set up correctly and keeping them from talking to the people that you don't want them talking to or just keeping them offline in general.
And Ender, your thoughts on this?
I mean, I think it is something that you kind of need to worry about a little bit more. I think it's another recruitment mechanism. And as much as you want to be an informed parent and know everything that they're doing when they're doing it, you can't always be there. You don't always know. You don't always know what they're going to be doing when they're at their friend's house or what that, you know, as much as you want to think you know, you don't. And having another avenue in order to recruit kids, especially in something as influential as a game that they're playing and as influential as these guys are known to be in these cartels to flip people to doing things for them. I mean, you're off and you're looking at this is in Mexico. Like, they're offering kids $200 to go do this for them to be a watch out. Why not? Like, I mean, this is yeah, they're going to start doing that. And it's going to just keep moving to bigger and bigger, bigger things. I think you got to be worried about it. I think there, you know, the game itself needs to be worried about that. I don't know how you police it or traffic it or anything like that. You know, it's kind of open world there with online play, but I am concerned about it. Like I said, I want to be as informed as I can as a parent, but I don't think you always can.
I'm going to throw a little counterpoint in that, because a lot of the online communication and everything is actually more tracked than what you think it is. So anything that happens like that, especially in the U.S., it might have happened in Mexico, but in the U.S., something like that, that's a lot more easily tracked than it is somewhere like in Mexico or somewhere else like that. So you can see the government.
It's tracked, but it doesn't mean the influence didn't happen. Doesn't mean that you're going to actually be able to find the exact person that did it. Doesn't mean you're going to be able to track all of that. I mean, behind a VPN, I can spoof where I'm at and bounce it around all over the place.
But you're bringing more attention from the feds down on you too by doing stuff like that. So now,
sure, but do I care? I'm the Mexican cartel. Like, I've had the feds on me for how long now? Like, why the hell do I care? I found another avenue to recruit. I'm going to use it.
All right, so I agree with a lot of the points Shadow made. I know in the U.S. it is hard to track, but Ender's kind of convinced me here, so I'm going to give the point to Ender. So the game goes to Ender, and Ender, this is your moment here, sir.
Oh, feels good. Feels good.
Two in a row, back to back.
Back to back wins. You know, that kind of. I'm going to just suck this one in here. I'm getting the finger from Mr. Bobber. It's okay, because he's not on screen anymore, and I am. I want everyone to know, if you are a baseball fan, even if you're not, watch the series that's going on right now. We got a great game going. There's two good series that are happening. I definitely want you to pay attention, even if you're not a big fan. Playoff baseball is completely different than baseball in the regular season. So please go out there and watch, support these guys. First full season back. The two series that are going on right now are great. That's really all I have to say. I don't have anything about gaming to say. We said it all already.
No problem. So we'll bring everyone back on. So thank you guys for coming out again. There's Jordan with the surprise re-entry. Thanks everyone.
You could
for
give
coming.
Me like a 5-second warning next time, you know, like about to bring him in, you know,
Andrew,
something
Andrew was
like
done.
That.
You know, you're coming back. Thank you guys for coming out. We will be back again in 2 weeks. We're going to go on a bi-weekly schedule on this show. It is a little difficult putting it all together. So, like I said, thanks so much. Ender with his second win. Shadow's got one win. Liquid
I'm
Death.
Two, I got two
in.
Wins. Liquid Death, sponsor me. Two wins already.
I feel like in 2 weeks, Shadow's going to come back with a vengeance. He does not like to lose, and he knows he almost pulled it off tonight. But thank you guys so much. We will see you guys
in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye.